Hey guys, God bless you and happy Easter. What an absolutely gorgeous day. What a gorgeous time for us to celebrate Easter together. And of course, we still find ourselves in the extraordinary circumstance of not being able to meet together. First time ever that we haven't as a church been able to meet together on Easter. But you're doing such an amazing job gathering your family and friends, watching online and being together in community through our Zoom group. So I'm so super proud of you. And I'm glad we're getting to do this together today. We're in part two of this new message series called A Matter of Life and Death. And I want to hop in with a very familiar story. Of course, if you've ever read this in scripture, and I'm sure you have, I want to read it to you again. And we're just going to spend a couple minutes together talking today. Very early that Sunday morning, of course, this is Luke 24, 1 through 12, if you want to follow along in your notes or pull out your Bibles. Very early that Sunday morning, the women made their way to the tomb carrying spices they had prepared. This was traditional, by the way, when somebody, they didn't have an embalming process, so they would use spices to sort of mask the odor of death. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Joanne, and Mary, Jesus's mother. Arriving at the tomb, they discovered that the huge stone covering the entrance had been rolled aside, and so they went in to look. But the tomb was empty. The body of Jesus was gone. They stood there, stunned and perplexed. Maybe highlight or underline that. Suddenly, two men in dazzling white robes, shining like lightning, appeared above them. Terrified, the women fell to the ground on their faces. The men in white said, Why would you look for the living one in a tomb? He's not here, for he has risen from the dead. Have you forgotten what he said to you while he was in Galilee? The Son of Man is destined to be handed over to sinful men and nailed to the cross, and on the third day he will rise again. All at once, they remembered his words. Leaving the tomb, they went to break the news to the 11. Remember, there were 12 disciples. Judas had betrayed them. He's no longer part, so now it's 11. And to all the others of what they had seen and heard. Now listen, when the disciples heard the testimony of the women, the story the women told, their eyewitness account, it made no sense. And they were unable to believe what they heard. But Peter, remember, this is Peter who had trouble with Jesus prior. This is Peter who had just denied Jesus. But Peter jumped and ran the entire distance to the tomb to see for himself. Stooping down, he looked inside and discovered it was empty. There were only the linen sheets lying there. Staggered by this, he walked away wondering what it meant. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's some words throughout that story that are the most relatable words that there could be in a story. And what I mean is, they're the words that connect us to the story. They're really the only words that connect us to the story. Stunned, perplexed, it made no sense. They were unable to believe what they heard, and they were wondering what it meant. And here's what I meant. I mean, if you and I are totally honest with ourselves, these are the only words that actually connect us to the story, because nothing else in this story is relatable to us. We don't understand the way Jesus talked about death. You and I don't talk about death that way. We don't think about death that way. We don't relate to death that way. And then Jesus is telling stories about coming back from the grave after 3 days. Those things don't happen. And so when we look at this story, we connect with the disciples and these women who experienced this firsthand, this resurrection story, this thing that actually happened that defines Christianity. Listen to me. It makes zero sense to us. You and I would have been just as perplexed. You and I would have been just as confused. None of it would have made sense to us. We always get to kind of look back on all these biblical people and judge them from our 2020 perspective. I don't mean 2020 the year. I mean 2020 hindsight. We get to look back and kind of judge them because we have all the facts we have. But if you and I walked up onto that tomb, onto that grave, and saw it empty, we would have been blown away just like none of us would have said, you know what? He did say something about dying and then he'd be handed over and he'd be crucified and he'd get up and rise after. You know what? It makes perfect sense. I know exactly. Jesus is out ministering, right? No, all of us would have been equally confused. But here's the really, really bad part. You and I are as equally confused and perplexed about this today as they were back then. And here's what I mean. For those who aren't living the resurrection story through their own personal experience, these truths that are set into place right here are still walking around disconnected through confusion from what the resurrection story really means to those of us who are followers of Christ. So I'm going to share two things with you today that I hope connect you and I to this story in a really super intimate way. All right, so grab your notes if you don't already have them out. If the reason for Easter is ever going to make sense to me, I need to, number one, stop holding on to what's meant to die. Stop holding on to what's meant to die. If Easter is ever going to really make sense, I need to stop holding on to what's meant to die. So this isn't something I share a lot or talk about a lot because there's some people in the church who are very connected to these stories, but I've had the unfortunate and very sad experience of being at bedside when some folks from the church have passed away and lost their lives. And it is an incredibly heartbreaking moment. It's terrible, and I wouldn't really wish it on anyone. And the reason it's so terribly heartbreaking is because my heart goes out to those who are there trying to hold on to their loved one, who don't want to let their loved one go, who are absolutely shattered and their world has been turned upside down because they're literally letting go of somebody that they passionately and deeply love. And it's absolutely heart-wrenching to watch that happen. And the reason is because we have this relationship with death in which we sort of believe that death isn't really meant to come to us. I mean, it feels like death is wrong and life is right. It always feels wrong to let something go or someone go. We always kind of feel like life has purpose and death doesn't have purpose. But I want to share something and kind of push back on our relationship with death, and it's this. There is equal value and purpose in death as there is in life. And here's why I believe that to be true. Matthew 16, these are Jesus' words. Matthew 16, 21 through 23. From then on, Jesus began to clearly reveal to his disciples he was destined to go to Jerusalem. Circle that word, destined. He was destined to go to Jerusalem and suffer injustice from the elders and the leading priests and the religious scholars. He also explained, he went on to explain more of what he was destined to do, that he would be killed and 3 days later, rise to life again. Peter took him aside to correct him privately. He reprimanded Jesus over and over, saying to him, "God forbid, Master, spare yourself. You must never let this happen to you." And then Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get out of my way, you Satan, you devil. You are an offense to me because your thoughts are only filled with man's viewpoints and not with the ways of God." So there's two big takeaways from that right now. And number one is this: there are some things that are destined to die. Let me say that again. There are some things destined to die because death is the start of something better and greater. Here's how I know that to be true. John 12, 24 says this. Again, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "Let me make this clear. A single grain of wheat will never be more than a single grain of wheat unless it drops into the ground and dies, because then it sprouts and produces a great harvest of wheat, all because one grain died." Jesus is clearly being prophetic about his own life being laid down so that there could be something greater to come of it. Now, I want you to hear this. That means that there are things in your life that when we allow those things to die, in my life and your life, when we allow those things to go into the ground and we commit those things to death, that God is able to resurrect bigger and better things from that. And here's the second takeaway. There's always going to be someone or something that's whispering in your ear, "No, you can't let go of that thing. No, you cannot let that thing die. It's going to be too hard on you. It's going to cost you too much. Spare yourself." Have you ever wondered, like I've had people come to me and say, I've been kind of feeling like God's been telling me to give more or serve more, and I just don't know if it's God. And I kind of laugh because I think, do you think your flesh or that Satan, the enemy, is going to tell you to give more? to sacrifice more, to trust God more? Do you think the enemy or your flesh is going to tell you to serve more? No. The enemy, your flesh, is always going to tell you to give up less, to sacrifice less, to not let anything die. But don't forget that if Jesus's destiny included death in order for him to accomplish his purpose, that you and I are not going to be spared of having to let things die in our life. And then secondly, and my last point is this, if the reason for Easter is ever going to make sense to me, I need to, number two, start living my life like I just walked out of my own grave. Like I just walked out of my own grave. So here's the biggest problem with Easter for most Christians is we don't live like we actually believe the story. Now you're going to push back on that because we would all get defensive as Christians and kind of feel like, are you kidding? Of course I believe this story. I'm a Christian. I believe the story. I don't think most of the time we live our lives like we believe the Easter story any more than we believe that there's a human-sized rabbit that magically delivers colored eggs to our home for Easter, right? I feel like we sort of relate to the true Easter story in the same mythical way, sort of the same disconnected way that we do the Easter bunny. And here's why. Because the Easter story isn't really about Jesus. Okay, now listen to me. Hear me out. It's not really about Jesus coming back from the dead. The Easter story is not about Jesus. Here's why I say that. Because Jesus was God. He didn't need to do this. Jesus didn't get anything from dying, being brutally killed, being hung on a cross, going into the grave for 3 days, and then coming back from, he didn't have to prove anything. He was God, whether we believed in him or not. You see, he was just God. He didn't have to do any of that for himself. He got nothing from it. The whole Easter story is, listen to me, about you and me. But we don't live like it's about you and me. We don't live like we were the ones who died and rose from the grave. But that's exactly what happened. So check this out. I've shared some of these stories with you guys. Not all of them, because we wouldn't have time to do anything else on the weekend except hear my near-death experiences. My dad jokes that I have 9 lives and I'm getting close to running out of those. Because since I was a kid until even being an adult, I seem to have all these near-death experiences, mostly because I kind of lack that common sense fear chip that keeps us from putting ourselves in grave danger. All that aside, I've had a lot of very close-to-death experiences, but I've never actually died and been buried and come out of the grave. Because listen to me, if I had actually died, been embalmed, been in, put in a tomb, put in a grave, and then 3 days later crawled my way out of that grave and then met up with everybody else, do you think I would talk about any, do you think I would think completely differently than I had before I was dead? Do you think I would act differently? Do you think I would speak differently? Of course, everything about me would be completely changed because I had died and rose again. That would be the defining moment of my life. And you would act similarly. But listen, listen, listen. That's exactly what's happened to us. You and I have died and been resurrected with Christ. Listen. Romans 6:4 says this, sharing in his death by our baptism, by our conversion, and by our public testimony of our faith in Christ means that we were co-buried and entombed with him, Jesus, so that when the Father's glory raised Christ from the dead, we were also raised with him. We have been co-resurrected with him so that we could be empowered to walk in the freshness of new life. Jesus was not the same after he came out of the grave. And you and I, after being co-buried with Jesus and co-resurrected with Jesus, should live our lives like we have just walked out of our own grave. Listen to the way Jesus tells it to his disciples in Matthew 16, 24 through 26. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if you truly want to follow me, you should at once completely reject and disown your own life. In other words, the life that's going into the ground. You must be willing to share my cross and experience it as your own. As you continually surrender to my ways, for if you choose self-sacrifice and lose your lives for my glory, you will continually discover true life. But if you choose to keep your lives for yourselves, you'll forfeit what you try to keep. For even if you were to gain all the wealth and power of this world with everything it could offer you at the cost of your own life, what good would that be? And what could be more valuable to you than your own soul? I want to put this into perspective for you. Jesus says that you have to go into the grave constantly so that you can come back. You have to take your flesh, your way of thinking, your way of processing, your way of choosing, your way of deciding, your way of being married, your way of doing finances, and you have to completely surrender that to him every single day, putting it in the ground, letting it be buried so that your new life, your new way of living can be resurrected with him. Shouldn't you and I be walking around like those who actually know what it is to have died to our old sinful selves and to have let Jesus fight everything in our lives that keeps us in that toxic grave and then walk in a resurrected life? You see, Easter's not about today. Easter's, as a matter of fact, we celebrate Easter over the course of about six different weeks. It's sort of this lunar cycle that's followed. As Christians, we're not defined by a single day of the week. The resurrection is not contained by this day, this the eggs and the pastel colors, and it's all fun to do that. But check this out. You and I are meant to live in this resurrected lifestyle every single day, like we just walked out of the grave. Because listen, today, you should have just walked out of the grave. You should have put the old self in the grave and gotten up and been completely co-resurrected with Jesus today. And tomorrow, the same thing. And the tomorrow, the day after that, and the day after that, and the day after that, resurrected every single day in the power of Christ. And if you haven't been living like that, I want to challenge you to make that decision today. Maybe it's going to be the first time you make that decision. Maybe it's the first time you're going to invite Christ into your life. I want to pray for you no matter where you're at in your journey with him. As we close together, Father, if someone is watching right now who does not yet have a relationship with you, let them know that your trip to the cross, that this story was not about you. It's not about performing the best magic trick to prove to everybody who you really are. You are that. You are God, whether we believe it or not. This resurrection story, the story of the cross and the grave, it's about us. And it's about the person who maybe has never had a relationship with you. And it's about the person who does have a relationship with you, but hasn't been walking in that authority of resurrection like they just walked out of the grave. But maybe it starts, God, by us putting some things, letting some things die, letting some things go into the grave that we've been holding on to. And that's my prayer for every single one of us, that we lay down our lives, that we are co-crucified with you. And that when we come back, we have shed all of the things that keep us from living the highest and best life that you've created us and destined us to live. And that's my prayer for every single person today who hears my voice and who gathered with us online today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. I'm praying for you. I love you. I'm proud of you. Hang in there. We'll be back together soon.